It doesn't matter. Oh. You can get it off of this right here.
Yeah.
I got it on the Kindle.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking for a... When I say a book now, remember one thing. We're in the 21st century. Book can mean iPhone, iPad.
Sermon, how about that?
Sermon, look, yeah, ask about the sermon.
But don't use the iPalm like I do. I still write stuff in my palm when I tell them I got the new iPalm. God gave it to me about 53 years ago.
Is there a difference between this book and the other book?
No. That's Your Perfect Man book is should be... you may have got one that was many in the 70s that was abridged, but the unabridged ones, like that one and all the others... Abridged means that they took the uhs and the ahs and the e's out. You know, Brother Brown would go, well, they took that out. Well, then they put it unabridged where if he said it, that's exactly what they put down.
Right.
Which is better that way. So, but let's all turn to the second Peter. And for some of y'all, I want you to listen to this. We had a great Bible study last night.
Amen.
I adjure you in the name of the Lord to be at the next one.
Right.
Whatever you got on Saturday night that's important, it ain't as important as the Word of God. Sorry, the Word of God's more important. But we're studying on adoption and the statue of the perfect man, and man, we're getting into some real... Boy, last night it was 8:30 before we got finished. We just kept going and going. And it wasn't finished. We had to just stop, you know.
I got to call him sick today.
So just really, I mean, there's really, there's nothing more important. I don't see that there is. I mean, there's things you have to do in life, sure. But this coming month in May or
April,
Try to be here. Just try to be here because we really got into some things last night. And you know what? It cleared up a lot of things that even the older ones got out of it, plus the younger ones. But folks, this is a requirement. This is not something that you might do or could do or an option. In the end time, this statue of a perfect man is not an option. It's a requirement. You've got to go up that statue of a perfect man or... you're facing death because of being in the end time. This is what it requires, what we were reading last night. So let's turn to 2 Peter. Because see, last Sunday was kind of a shocker to you, which is good. That it shook you up. You know why? You got to know where you are before you can start somewhere. You got to know where your mind is before you can start. Okay? So maybe I hope I took your hard drive and destroyed it. Destroyed your hard drive, so now what? You start adding information that you need.
Right.
Because of misinterpreted theology, which is anti-word,
right,
we had these thoughts and we had these ideas and we had these, well, as long as I sit in the message church, I'm okay. That's the most damnable place to be if you're not born again.
Right.
But now look, some have expressed, and not just one, but several have expressed their wondering if they have the new birth. And if you don't have the new birth, you can still learn these. You say, oh, how? The disciples were not born again, right?
Right.
But for 3.5 years, God sat there and He pounded that word into them through Jesus Christ. He sat there, but when the Holy Ghost fell, guess what it done? It shot them up to here.
Brought back their remembrance
things, which, because that's what the Holy Ghost said it would do. It would show you things to come, bring back to your remembrance whatsoever I've said, and show you things to come. All right? So if we all realize that we're right here, and this thing is anti-word, which it is, this is anti-word, all right? Dad just lifted it right up when we went upstairs Sunday, if you heard what he said about Martin Luther.
Yes, right.
In the soul, Martin Luther was right.
That's right.
But in his mind, he was anti-word.
Yeah, right.
That's what I said. And, you know, a lot of y'all have a problem with it, but that's okay if you got a problem with it. I don't mind. But just realize one thing. We are anti-Christ until we're in Christ.
That's right.
Our mind, our intelligence, our thinking is anti-word.
Yes, sir.
We were born wrong.
Yes.
Born wrong.
Right.
But now look, you say, well, I don't like you say that. Why not? Let's start right there, though, because God has made a way.
That's right.
to make it right. He's made a way to keep us from being anti.
That's right.
See, but you got to get a foundation first. You got to do, what is Zerubbabel? In the book of Zechariah, Zerubbabel cleaned off the foundation, right? You can't just go, you see this old house back here that this man's tearing down? Now, he didn't just build a house right around that or on top of that. What did he do? He cleaned off the trash, got it down to the foundation, and I'll guarantee he's probably going to build him a house or something, but he had to get all that trash out of the way, all right?
I was just going to say, well, I have a problem with being born wrong, but I mean, you can't get right if you're not wrong.
That's right. And to realize you're wrong. Right. To realize you're wrong, then God can help you to be right. I wasn't trying to leave everybody hanging last Sunday, but we're born anti-word, but there is a way back. There's an entrance. We read it last night. We're going to read it right now. So let's read this. Then we'll let the prophet read it. Everybody see that now? Brother Joe, can you see it okay? Okay, good. All right. Thank God for technology.
Are you recording, by the way?
No, I'm not. Thank you, Sheriff. Now I am. Hello, everybody. Praise the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning. You got it up there?
Yep.
Okay. I don't have the thing on, do I? They can't hear me.
We can get it off the recording.
Okay. I'm loud enough, don't we say?
Yeah, somebody reached.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, you don't need
it. Peter, chapter 1. Let's read it. Now let's go and let's read it. I want you to read it like we did last night in the Bible study. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them. So that's a special group. I circled that in my Bible. To them. If you're one of them, then you're like Peter, which had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? To them that have obtained. That word obtained means entrance. All right? You've obtained something. All right? Like precious faith with us through. There's another entrance, through. There's a door been made open, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power, now look at all these divines, hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life. Huh? Look, life lessons. That's what we're learning about. We're not going to need to talk the statue of a perfect man when we get to glory, but we are going to be at different places. That's what we were talking about last night, and levels of understanding. But this is to get us through to this requirement. See, to understand the seals, you got to be right here at the faith of the fathers. All right? So now, we'll get into that later on, because that's a long way. That's after we get finished with all the virtues. To life and godliness. So it's pertaining to life, what you do in life, and it's pertaining to your godliness or your Christian walk. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given. Now, what does the word given mean? Gift. He give these, all right? Unto us exceeding, not just a little, exceeding, overflowing, great and precious promises, that by these, the prophet said these promises, we'll read in a minute, you might be partakers of the divine nature. This statue of a perfect man is the divine nature of Almighty God. It is God Himself living through human flesh.
Right.
All right? But you got to start somewhere. You got to start by cleaning the thing out. And then later on, we're going to read about Sister Shepherd's dream, maybe not today, where she dreamed and the pyramid was there and there was water flowing out, and Brother Brown said there was trash coming out. Mm-hmm. You still got trash in you at the new birth? Yeah, you still got trash in you at the new birth. Or we wouldn't need this growth development. All right? Remember, just like Jonas. Jonas has every faculty he needs to drive a car. He's not going to gain any new parts or eyes or hands or feet, but he's going to grow in coordination. He's going to grow in development of learning knowledge of being able to drive a car. But he's still got the brain right there that he's always going to have. So when you're born again, when the baby's born, you got what you need. Like I was telling Bob this morning, Brother Ram said, when you become born again, you got enough power in you to create a world and go live on it. But there's a bar holding you. What is it? Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination of this world. This world. it has encased, or like a capsule. All the stuff you need is inside the capsule. But this stuff is holding the capsule together, which is called us. And that's why we have to do this. Or we have to go by the grave. Remember me preaching on purging. You're purged two ways. You're either purged when you're alive or you're purged when you die. Death purges the old you. Because when you resurrect, you're not going to come back up the same, listen to me, the same person you were that Samuel and Peggy Dale brought forth.
Right.
You're going to be made new, but you're still going to have this. But it's going to be made new. That's why the Bible says that we can't see God in this flesh. We can't take this flesh to heaven. This flesh to heaven.
Right, right.
It's got to be changed.
That's right.
So that's what it's doing now. Because this is anti.
Right.
But we're going to be changed because the Bible says we plant them in corruption. This is corruption. But we raise them in incorruption. What? Death destroys the effect of the fall. Because once a Christian resurrects, he's never going to fall again. But see, we're in a fallen condition. But there's going to be a group of people that's going to stand on the earth, and death is not going to be able to hold this, and we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's a promise. But it's not going to happen right here. It's not going to happen at virtue, knowledge, temper. No. Those people die. They have to be purged. God wants a full stature.
Right.
Okay? Everybody understand? He wants a full stature right here at the headstone. That's what he wants. That's what he requires. Because listen to this, watch. Excuse me. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Alright? And besides this, what? Besides the new birth. That's what he's saying. Besides, because he's giving you the divine nature. Besides this, add to your faith. So see, there's seven as, but it doesn't start at faith. If you do, there's eight. There's eight. If not, read it. Look at somebody got. We got the chart last night. It says add to your faith. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number seven is love. Right. Add to your faith. Well, right there it is. I'm sorry. Add to your faith. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. Add to your faith. Sure, faith is the foundation.
Right.
Add to your faith. Add to your faith. I need to postpone that. Don't want that to happen right now. All right? And besides this, what? Besides this new birth that you just received, giving all diligence. Now, that doesn't mean dilatory. That means diligence. That means you got to get up and do it. Add to your faith. It's something you have acquired. It's a gift. God's give you the new birth. So add to your faith. In other words, what I said last night, add this to the Bible. It's not an addition, but listen, it's between the lines. Add to what you believe, virtue. And to what you believe, knowledge. See, add to what you believe. You got to believe. Those who believe.
Yes.
Bible says, believeth. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. Or love, which is the top. For if these things be in you, not on you, not an anointing, but in you, and abound. Abound means that if you didn't just get four apples off your tree, you got 400 apples off your tree. Your tree abounded with fruit. That's the same thing with you and I. They make you. Now, that word make there means just like I'm going to make Jim get up and go to town tomorrow. There's a requirement that she go to town, and I'm the head, so I'm going to say, you need to go. It's going to make you. But if she has these virtues in her, if we have these virtues in her, it's going to make us do this. You see what I'm saying? It's going to make you be fruitful, because if it doesn't, look, they make you that she shall neither be barren or unfruitful. So if you do that, it's going to make you productive and very fruitful. All right?
Automatically.
It's going to make you. That word make, I've underlined it for years. That's what it's telling us. It'll make you do these things. All right? It'll make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. That word blind is gross darkness. All right, you're blind. If you don't see these things, you're blind.
Yes.
And cannot see afar off. What? Revelation. All right? And have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. In other words, backslid. You forgot where you came from. Because this is written to Christians. Remember, this is people with like precious faith.
Right.
So he's not jumped over and talked to sinners. He's still talking to Christians. All right? Everybody got that?
Right.
But he that lacketh these things is blind. Even if you're a Christian, you can be blind. How many of us become newborn Christians and then we see more and more?
That's right.
That means we were blind to it.
That's right?
Yes. Okay. But now, once light's been given to you, if you still are blinded, then you need to go back and get born again.
Right.
See, that's where you realize whether you're born again or not. It's whether the word that you see. Now, you may not see everything, but God just shows you little things along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll help you with the little things along the way to make sure that you know that you're a Christian. But don't forget that you were purged from your old sin. Don't forget where you came from. That's what I was saying last Sunday. That's what this says. And forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, in other words, don't be in darkness, rather do this. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, sisters and brothers. It's not just preachers and deacons. The 120 in the upper room that were at the faith of the fathers, there were some women there.
Amen.
There were some women in that. Wasn't just 120 men.
Right.
No, the Lord Jesus' mama was there. Mary was there. She received virtue, knowledge, temper, patience, godliness, brother, kindness.
Right.
Sure she did. Because they went out a very mighty church. You got to have the sisters involved also. She just knew her place. Mary didn't jump out and start preaching the word of God.
That's right.
She didn't get in the pulpit and get her a church.
Right.
No, she got the sisters together. She told the sisters about God. She told the sisters about this. Because Brother Brown said a Holy Ghost-filled woman can help you if you'll listen to her. All right. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, here's a promise. I triple underlined this and wrote promise. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, is that a promise or what? You shall never fall. Sure, we'll do things wrong. Sure, we'll, but you shall never fall. What? Fall away from the truth.
Right.
Truth's going to always be there, and the truth is going to hold you up. You will never fall, all right? For so an entrance, a door, shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Now, ministered, you got to listen to preachers. Fivefold of them. Sorry, that's the way we chose it. Okay? That's the way we chose. We chose to lead. You got to listen to fivefold ministers. You can't get this all by yourself. Sorry. Because it says, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Not just once a month. Right? Abundantly. Let's take these words together and read them. Abundantly. Look at the promises. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter was a preacher, right? Anointed preacher. And he said, I'm going to always give you a remembrance of these things. Look at that next one. Though you know them. You see that? Though you know them. I'm going to bring these to your remembrance, though you even know them. And be established in the present truth. That's today. This present truth right here today, you're going to be established if we do these things. Well, now let's let Brother Branham read out of the statue of a perfect man. So now let us read now 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, the first chapter, portion of it. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I like the way that's stated right there because my whole subject this morning is based on faith. See, let me read that again. Listen close. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ to them that obtain like precious faith through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice he is saying that I have obtained this faith, and I'm addressing to them that has attained like precious faith. So he's addressing the Christians, all right? It's not to the outside world. So this is not, don't go try to say anything about statue of a perfect man to somebody out in the world. They'll like you like crazy. Okay? So there's certain things, marriage and divorce and all things like that. It's not for the world. Don't even give it to the world. If they come in, then you can teach them, but forget about it. Okay? Let's see. Grace, all right, the outside world. This is to the church, those that are in Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things, his divine power now has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are we given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, the prophet said these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now let that soak in real deep now. Not preaching this morning, we're just teaching. Divine nature. Let me read that fourth verse again so you won't miss it. Whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, the world. We've escaped that now. He's addressing this to the church. That's why we're here this morning, is to find out what is the way, what is God's requirement. That's his requirement. All right? So Brother Branham is opening a door, like Peter did, an entrance for us to get back to the statue of a perfect man, to the faith of the fathers. All right? There's not a person in here that loves God but wants to become more like Christ. Now it's laid out here. Every Christian, I'm an old veteran, look at Brother and Sister Kidd here, they're probably the oldest in the building, but if I'd ask them, what is your heart's desire? It'd be closer to God. When you learn of Christ, there's something about him that's so loving, you just try to get right into it. Then he told his wife, he said, I'd like to, that's where he says here, he says, I love you so much, so I'd like to take you and pull you inside of me, so we could just really be one more. Now that, multiply that by 100 million. And then you'll find out how that the believer who falls in love with Christ wants to get into him because it's a love. And here he's going to show us how that, through these promises, we might be partakers of Christ's divine nature. These mortal body, how that we can be partakers. Mortal body. This is what's supposed to be working outside, from the inside, working its way outside. All right? He's talking about soul mating, which is, he didn't agree with that, so, and I don't either. Talking about getting married to such and such a girl. But that's the way it is with Christ. We got to be so in love with him till we ask for something and he doesn't give it to us, that doesn't shake us a bit.
Right.
Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Remember, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get.
Yes, that's right.
See why? And the only way you can do that is to become partakers of his divine nature. Then you'll understand the reason. See, God doesn't have to really give us a reason. He's almighty. He can just say no. But he gives us a reason. He tells us why he's not going to give it to us. He says, why? Become partakers. You'll understand the reason he can't give it to you. See, that's what I want to say, because sometimes we get all pouty with God.
Yeah, we do.
We do. We get pouty with God.
I was just thinking, when you were reading that kind of correlates with a woman's role, like being subject. I mean, it's
sure.
Kind of like the same thing. Like you should be under subject, total subject.
Sure, mm-hmm. Right. And if the husband says no, he has a reason. But if you're a little baby about it, okay, we're a little baby about it, we go pouty. That's what he was saying right there. We go kind of pouty. But now with this divine nature, though, with a sister that's under subjection to her husband, and true subjection, not as a slave, but true subjection, and you two live as one, you'll understand the reason he can't give it to you.
And if we don't, we just accept it.
We should accept it, just like it is, right. Because to be partakers of his divine nature, he knows what you need before you ask for it. So he knows that we can ask amiss, but he can't ask amiss. And the Holy Ghost can't ask amiss. A lot of things we do is in the flesh. Right? A lot of things we do in the flesh, it don't prosper. Right? But if you ever seen, though, to ask something of God and you get in a channel, that God will answer that prayer, and man, you go, well, thank you, God. You know, you say, thank you, God. You answered that prayer. But you know what? He answered it in His time.
That's right.
See? And in His place, there's nothing... You know, we want, there's a lot of things we want in this room. You look at that right back there on that wall. There's a lot of people we want in this church. And we pray, but do we pray diligent enough? Do we sigh and cry like Daddy said for the abomination? Well, that's an abomination that they're not here. To me, that's an abomination that those kids and people, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, are not in this church today.
Right.
To me, it's an abomination. And I'm part of that. I'm not saying I'm over here and everybody... No, I'm an abomination.
Yeah.
See, we go back to the anti-part. I realize every day when I get up, I'm anti-word.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just against God. Even getting up in the morning, you're against God, because we're not going to go to sleep over there. You're just against God. Does everybody understand that? I don't care whether you believe it or not, but do you understand what I'm saying? You're always against God.
Amen.
But now we can start, though. There's an entrance been made, a door's been opened, that we can take this divine nature and get rid of that. I'm not saying we'll have this thing until we die or be changed, but it's going to be changed. Right?
Yes.
Brother Brown said the greatest battle ever fought is not in here. It's right here. Right here. Now, if y'all don't agree with that, you're lost. If you don't agree that this right here is against God, you're just kidding yourself. Because
right.
When I knew when God came to me, and you same way with everybody, when God come to you, you were so anti until you didn't want God. We weren't seeking God. God was seeking us. So you weren't trying to press your way into God. No, you weren't. Now, God did little things in your life to show you where you need to go, but there come a point in time when God's going to go, thump, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yes.
I'm talking to you now.
Yeah. Right.
And then what do? God knew you would accept it or reject it. There's your predestination. He knew you would come to a point.
Yes, Lord.
And He would say one word from the pulpit or one word from somebody testifying to you, and you'd go, oh, I'm so wrong. I'm so wrong. Everything I do is so wrong to God. Right? Is that not the way you started? That's the way everybody should have started. You know, we all start with different experiences, but it's always the same. It's always, I'm wrong. What's repent? Repent means to turn around because I'm wrong and I need to go that way. Go ahead, sister.
I remember when I got mine. I was on my way, I had listened to tape that night, and I was on my way to work, and I was facing the World Trade Building, and I walked across the street, and it came to me, God chose me. I felt so good. All that time, I was thinking I chose God, and it was just a revelation. I went down the elevator, I said, God chose me, and when I found out that God chose me, things just started opening up.
I never will
forget that.
But God knows that that's the reaction we as humans...
Mm-hmm.
How much more would it be that we know that this infinite man has chose you from 7 billion people?
Right.
And He come and found you.
That's right.
That gives me cold chills. He come and found you. You didn't go find God. There's not one human thing you can do to find God. Not one. But He found you, and He knew though, Sister Johnny, when you that was revealed to you, you'd accept it.
Yeah.
Well, then right then, what did Brother Brown say about the brother that said, well, Brother Brown, I don't know if I'm born again or not.
Yeah.
He said, when you pick that track up, boy, how simple is that? When you pick that track up and turn from whatever way you were doing, you accepted that what was on the track, just a little simple, probably John 3:16. When you accepted that, that's when you turn and receive God.
But is that the baptism of the...
No. Wait a minute, my mother had her hand up first.
That's the same time when he was saying, you know, the man said he lost God and he said, well, go back where you found
right.
him.
Right.
As lay me down to sleep.
Right, now lay me down to sleep. Absolutely. It's free. Go ahead.
But when Brother Brown was given the illustration,
And that's where he accepted. That's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Well, that's his journey. That's where he begun. But you got to remember one thing. If you're truly justified, let me make it real. Let me be, this is kind of a gray area, but let me think. Well, if you're truly justified,
right.
Now you're justified. God forgives you your past sins. You're not born again in the family of God, but if you're truly justified, the Bible says you're already glorified.
Correct. You will go on.
You will go on. You have begun here, and you will end here. God saw if it's a true justification. If it's truly that you were going in this direction, and God turned you and started going in that direction, but 15 years later, you turn around and go back in that direction, you never got it to start with. You just got a feeling. And the devil loves to give you feelings.
That's right.
He loves to give you feelings.
That's right.
But if God truly justifies you, then he's already glorified you. Okay? So that was his journey. So we can say, that's why Brother Brown said, you can come up to the altar, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're a Christian. That doesn't mean you're born again.
That's right.
Come on, that doesn't mean you're born again. That just means you're justified. That means that right then, if you died, you'll go to heaven, but you'll not be bride. Because bride is only the ones that the Holy Ghost has come inside and you've accepted Him. In your walk of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've accepted that and you've walked in God. He's showing you the Word. But if you go up, say, Nala, I'm going to kill you, okay? Nala is going to go up today and she's going to repent of her sins and she's really sorrowful, but she gets killed in a car wreck going down the road. God forbid that's going to happen. We know it's not. But if it does, then we can't say she's not a Christian.
That's right.
No, in God's eyes, she's been forgiven, chopped off.
Right.
That's what that is. It chopped off everything from there back. So where you stand? Complete in God. In the position you're supposed to be in. Completing God. Now, if she continues on another 5 years and she's still doing what she was doing back here, she just got a feeling. She just got a religion, an emotion. But if you truly repent, God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. Remember, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Shall, which means it don't have to happen right then, but it shall. I didn't receive it when I first was baptized. It took a little while. But I sure felt clean when I came out of that water. I sure felt God had took everything that I was before and thrown it in the sea. And He can't bring that up no more. But see, remember, if we continue though to walk in justification, that same unclean spirit that made us do it is still right here. You may still smoke a cigarette. You may still drink a beer. Right? But there's going to come a time of sanctification where that's got to go out. The unclean spirit then will go out of a man. Right? He walks in dry places, seek a rest, findeth none. But he's going to come back and he's going to make you very religious. Alright? So that's very, you got to be careful with that. That's the sanctification part is a tough part to be in, because remember, Judas Iscariot was in the stage of sanctification. He cast out devils. He preached the gospel.
He did.
Mm-hmm. And he was sanctified. Mm-hmm. But he never went on to receive. You know what he did? He did not believe what Christ was saying all the way.
Right.
He believed part of what he was saying. Alright? And that put him not in the body, so he was able to do what he did. He was able to deny God and become forever Judas. Judatarian attitude.
That helped me. You want to look at it?
Yeah.
That really helped me.
Which one do I need to read? Countdown?
The highlighted one.
Okay. Countdown. And the new birth, as people talk, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a new birth. Now that's wrong. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from the new birth. The new birth is when you're born again, but the Holy Ghost is when power comes into that birth for service. Now remember, it's not totally two different acts. It's the same act, just showing you, because you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life on your spirit and die and go to hell.
Alright?
Everybody understands? That would give you the anointing to cast out devils, preach the gospel, heal the sick. Right?
Right.
And still be just as smutty inside as you always have been. Alright? That's hard to understand, but you got to remember, Joel said that the anointing that it says, I'll pour out the Holy Ghost on all flesh.
Right.
In the end time, it's on all flesh. Everybody.
Right.
That's why you get these people with anointings to do the things they do.
Right.
Write songs, which are evil, but that's an anointing. It's an anointing to do that. The new birth, you have the new birth by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, by having faith and accepting Him as your Savior. That's birth, see, because you've passed from death into life. He that heareth my word and believeth. See, he's got life because he believes. And that same group had to go to Pentecost to be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See, what he's saying? He's saying they had to go on further.
Right.
All right? Holy Ghost is power for service. All right? You shall receive the new birth after this. What? Now you shall receive power, Acts 1:8, after this Holy Ghost has come upon you. And they had already believed to eternal life and so forth, but they had to have the Holy Ghost for power. You shall be witness unto me after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, because the Holy Ghost is a witness of the resurrection, showing that you have become an adult.
Amen.
In Christ. Not a newborn baby, but an adult. Alright? So, Brother Brown, and that's where a lot of people say, well, Brother Brown says the new birth and the Holy Ghost is different. Well, there's a quote. But you got to remember, he's separating it. It's the same act.
Right.
If you're born again, then something died.
That's right.
Something died.
That's right.
But then Brother Branham clearly shows you that the Holy Ghost comes with power. Because
right.
in the upper room, they didn't just get eternal life and then get the Holy Ghost. They got it all.
Right.
They got it all, and they were adults in Christ.
Right.
That's what he was reading, Acts 1:8. What? That's Acts 1:8. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost come upon you, it'd be power. Well, Acts 2.38 is when all that happened, or Acts 2.1. So they become babes. And you got to remember, Brother Branham is talking about two different groups of people. All right? We got to go. We're right in the middle of something. But remember, the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost on two different sets of people. The ones in the upper room had been tutored by God Himself, and that fell on the word they held. The 3,000 downstairs just became babies right here.
Okay.
Same Holy Ghost, but they started as babies. Okay?
Oh, wait.
We'll get into this.
That's like this.